are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's exactly where you're at, and we're about to get into our first conversation for this afternoon as we study together God's Word. Joining us in discussion is our pastor, Mfundisi S.K. Marandure, who is going to be sharing with us in our Scripture in Motion this week. And the topic, the theme that we're covering this week is contentment versus comparison. Now, in today's world, we are bombarded by ads of every variety that are always promising comfort and convenience, happiness and contentment. And we are sometimes even tempted to think we will also find that happiness in some product or some service that we acquire. But these things seldom bring happiness or contentment. Just ask some of the lottery winners whose newfound wealth has brought them nothing but misery. I don't know if they knew how to use their money, but it's okay. That's a story for another day. And sometimes found discontentment in acquired wealth. So this week, we are going to unpack the meaning and source of contentment, as well as its enemy, comparison. Joining us and leading out in our discussion, our pastor, Mfundisi S.K. Marandure Muruti. Good afternoon to you and welcome.
Afternoon, and how are you?
No, we're doing okay, pastor, and yourself?
Can't complain. He's taking care of us.
We praise him for that. May he continue doing that. And we appreciate you for joining us this afternoon, taking the time to be part of this discussion as we will go through this theme, contentment versus comparison. We say thank you and we appreciate you, pastor.
No, we really appreciate also a privilege to be able to share the word of God. It's a blessing. Are we hoping to leave by the end of the week? God would have spoken to us yes. In a way or another.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And open up our eyes so that we can be liberated from this comparison battle. Pastor, let's jump straight into the discussion. And maybe before I go deeper into the lesson, there's something here we made mention of, you know, of how happiness and contentment is not found in things. I mean, even lotto winners apparently find misery from their wins. I don't know. Do you feel like, Mfundisi, if you were to get a windfall, you'd become miserable and you're like, God, save me from this lots of money. I don't want it.
Oh, yes. This is actually very interesting, I must say.
Do you see it bringing...
This is actually so much interesting. Imagine how could you say someone almost got some money and they'll say, hey, God saved me from this.
Hey, you're seeing it was so close. I was almost lost.
I was so much close, and things were going to change in a twinkling of an eye, but yeah. Unfortunately, anyway, I take it that God not wanting me to have this fortune, whatever it may be. No, you know what? It's almost impossible, or rather, let's say it is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's because you know let's just say the majority of us as humanity
yes.
are not that well to do.
That's
it's
true.
It's a matter of hand to mouth.
Yeah,
whatever you find to eat, it's gone before you know it. So we do not have much to spare. And because of that, we have problems. We have challenges that need an answer that can only be found in money or whatever fortune that we may have. And these things, we have them on a daily basis. And these other things also are not a matter of a choice. Like, how can I put, like, you know, I can almost do without. These are things that we really...
They're necessary. I mean, they're called necessities.
They are critical. You see, someone is sick here, and this person needs money to go to the doctor and to get their medication and to be back on their feet. And this needs money to go. This needs money. He has a funeral. Yeah. We need to run this funeral. We need to have our beloved buried in a decent way.
They need money.
Yeah, we are hungry. We need food. We don't want prayers. We need food here.
We can pray for the food that we have bought.
Prayer will only come when the food is there. And this food to be there, it needs money.
Yeah.
So you see, I'm then saying it's a bit of a tough question though.
Yeah.
But I like the way you are bringing it up in our discussion now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be able to be without, but remain content.
And maybe let's talk about that, Muruti, to say, what then does contentment mean? I mean, in the biblical sense, of course, is it a sense of not wanting more? Like, I'm fine with the state I am? Or there's something deeper that's being trying to be communicated by the Bible?
Okay. Now, this is what it is. I do not have what I need here.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can still be able to live without that in as much as I would need that also.
Hmm.
Now, okay. I'm being able to live without a pair of shoes, but I need a pair of shoes. So, yeah, to a point whereby I'm content for being without today. But again, this contentment doesn't mean that I have ruled out the need of having the pair of shoes.
Hmm.
So should I get the shoes tomorrow, I am much, much happier. Should I get them next week or next year, I am still a happy person, even though I needed them yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So in other words, okay. So in other words, then contentment will help me then not to compromise as far as standards that God expects me to be having. I am not pushed to compromise as far as my faith is concerned. I'm not pushed or coerced to feel like I am a good for nothing.
Mm.
No. I still appreciate I'm a child of God. Even if the child of God does not have what other children of God have.
Mm.
So I'm content, but doesn't mean I have ruled out not to have whatever it is.
Okay, okay. So
this is the biblical definition of being content. I am happy with what I have, my status quo now, I am happy. But doesn't mean I will not be happier if I have something else added on top of what I have today. But I will not be sad to a point of turning my back from God because I do not have. I will not be bought or sold so that I can have what I do not have today. No. That one I will not. Someone will feel bad. Someone will feel not so okay when they eat a meal that is, I don't know if there's a word called substandard, a basic meal.
Yeah.
But then someone will then say, oh, you know what? At least this is a meal. At least we have a meal here. So I'm so happy. And they'll eat happy and thank God from the bottom of their heart that they have what they have.
Mm.
And then someone will then say, no, this is not it. I cannot. You know, it's so funny when it comes to these things. Someone is content with riding a public transport when going home or going to work or wherever they are going.
Okay.
And someone will then say, no, I need to be driving.
Mm.
So I'm not driving. I'm not going anywhere.
Mm.
You see, we are different. Someone is content with five pairs of suits. Someone is saying, now this is a definition of poverty. You should have at least 50 pairs of suits.
So
it's how we define this aspect of being content. It's the ability to live without what others may see as necessities. And yet I'm saying, I'm still okay with what I have. And normally content is not only for those who are poor or those who have little. Do you know there are people who may have billions of US dollars, but are still not even content?
Nice. And then maybe let's talk about that, Muruti, to say, I mean, what you're saying almost sounds like laziness, even complacency, or to some degree, this idea of mediocrity, lack of ambition? How do you differentiate? Because sometimes that can look the same, can it not?
Okay. Yes, they can be. Okay, I'm not so sure of what it may be. I'll say, I believe everyone wants to work for themselves.
Okay.
And wants a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Laziness may be defined by some who may then like, this person is lazy. But okay, you may not appreciate the efforts I've tried to put in such that things will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then also, we cannot completely rule out the aspect of laziness. Some are actually lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they are content with what they have, whereby they could have done better.
Okay.
They could have done better. Yes, yes, yes. So this is my thinking now. We now need to know, why is this person struggling where they could have been doing better? Is it because they are lazy to wake up, to go and work? Or some people are even choosy when it comes to work. They're not qualified for anything, but they feel they must be treated with this world somehow in a special way.
And by so doing,
yes, they do not have what they're supposed to be having. But however, the best way is to be content, but to be content not to accept the status quo as what defines you. But it is to say, temporarily, this is where I am.
Okay.
Let me enjoy where I am and not deprive myself of this joy that I would have had just because I am here. Tomorrow, I'm not here. I'm going somewhere. That's where hope is coming in now. Look here, I am in this position, but I still have hope to be somewhere. Now, there are people, like I said, that's an extreme scenario where someone has all that we may then say, this person is everything that I've ever wished for. This person is good. All my prayer list answered in one person.
Yeah.
But the same person is still not content. The same person is not happy. The same person is not really excited about anything. So now there becomes a serious problem.
Yeah.
There becomes a serious problem. But now it is because somebody did not learn to enjoy what they have and to be thankful to God because of that.
You know, you remind me of that a story that's told in the book Steps to Christ, where this sister is always writing letters to another sister complaining about how life is so bad, until they are shown this image of this lady in a garden with beautiful flowers. They are walking off the path looking for the thorns where they are, and they are complaining about how there's mud and how... And like, why are you there? Come back to the path. Admire the roses. Leave the thorns alone. They will only harm you.
Exactly. It's just exactly. I like that. Honestly speaking, we tend not to look and appreciate what we have because our eyes are looking for what is not there. It's not here. So why are you supposed to be worried about it? You know, there's someone who is without, someone is complaining because their children are very, I don't know what you call it. They're so much into mischief. They're naughty. They're whatever it is. But I'm saying, but there's someone without those children.
Yes, true.
Someone is without those children, and they really wish
they could have them, even if they are
also naughty. Who are exactly one naughty and all that. You know what? These shoes of mine are not so. They are not even matching up with all the clothes that I have. I don't like these shoes. Oh my, they are outdated. Look at them. They are they are 5 years old. Yes, they may be outdated even up to 20 years old. But let me tell you something. Somebody does not have the feet to put those shoes. Someone does not have the feet to put those shoes on. So we need to be very much careful. Let's learn to be content. Let's enjoy what we have today and not deprive ourselves of what we do not have today.
Yeah. And where does contentment come from, Muruti? Wait, what's the source of that? Where does contentment come from?
As in the Bible or...
And maybe, I mean, the source, and maybe talk to us about...
Like,
Yes.
And Oh, yes. Contentment, okay, the Bible has got quite a lot of text that we can actually refer to. Yes. But above all, contentment is something that is, okay, everything comes from the heart, by the way. Everything comes from the heart and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the ability to be able to be content comes from God. And also the opposite is very true. If you cannot be content, then there is someone who's telling you things are not well, you should be treated better, you don't deserve this, and all that and all that. I like to read the Bible. I know there will be quite many texts, but allow me to come to the, I will give you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. I'll give you Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. Oh, these ones, they talk about rejoicing in the Lord all the time.
Mm.
But doesn't mean all the time everything is fine and everything is conducive for me to rejoice. Yes, it's all the time, even if when things are actually very bad, I must rejoice in the Lord.
Okay.
That's being content.
And are there some misconceptions about what contentment is? Pastor Marandure? Ooh, that line just disappeared. Let's see if we can try quickly establish it again so that the pastor can wrap up our discussion for this afternoon. We're having a conversation on Fundisi here, addressing issues of contentment versus comparison, right? And how contentment actually looks like and how it's a better thing for us to have and how you can define it even for yourself. Mfundisi, do we have you back?
Yes, thank you so much. I don't know what happened there.
I was saying that. Mm-hmm.
So I was saying the texts that we find in the Bible, they are all pushing us in the direction of being content, teaching us on faith, teaching us to be hopeful, above all, to be grateful, to be happy in all things. With supplication, we need to lay and make known of our prayers. But now I like the aspect whereby 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16 says, always rejoice.
Mm.
Now, this aspect of always, it seems as if it's being said to someone who has every other resource for them to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And to be rejoicing, but now it's a package whereby we rejoice even if there is no reason to be rejoicing. Where others are rejoicing, and you do not have what they have for you to be rejoicing, you need to be rejoicing in the Lord. So exactly that's what it means. And also remember the Book of Romans chapter 8: all things they work together for good. All things, they are working together for good. So whatever it may be for me today, it's just but working for good. It's just but working for good. So all things, the good, the bad, the painful, the tears, and whatever it may be, all things are simply but working together for good. So in other words, even if I do not have money, even if I do not have food, even if I don't have clothes, I must be able to praise God for what I have. Because there is no way I will lose everything. If you don't have anything, shelter, clothes, shoes, whatever it may be, I will tell you, you still have got something. You still have got life. You are not dead.
Mm.
And let's say, you will then say, maybe when I'm dead, at least I know. Let me tell you something. At least you've got a grave. There's no way. We will fail to have something to be thankful to God for.
Yeah, there's always something to be grateful for. But see, we'll have to leave it there for today. But wow, what a way to wrap it up. There's always something to be grateful. If you really look, you can point at something that you say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Pastor, let me thank you then, even for this afternoon, for coming through. May God bless you. Until we chat again tomorrow, keep well.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
Amen. You too, for this. That's Pastor Marandure talking to us this afternoon. Matters of contentment, matters of comparison, matters of gratitude. Where are you finding yourself?
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.